Now, the information regulator has requested that the president declare that the remaining provisions of the Protection of Personal Information Act commence on the 1st of April 2020. Once the remaining provisions of the POPIA or POPI Act are in effect, they will regulate the way the public and private bodies process personal information in South Africa. Carl Blom is a senior associate at Weber Wentzel Law Firm who joins you now to explain where we stand with regards to this act and what changes are in the pipeline. Carl, good morning. Thank you once again for joining us on the show.
Morning, Amangele. Thanks so much for having me.
Carl, is it Poppy? Is it still Poppy or is it Popia?
There's always a debate. We always started off calling it Poppy, but it seems that Popia is now the accepted nomenclature.
Yeah. Maybe just a brief reminder. Remind us, what is Popia or Poppy?
So essentially, the goal of the Act is to bring South Africa in line with international standards. So you would have heard about the GDPR in the EU, which is a very similar type of law to this. And it essentially gives effect to South Africans' right to privacy under the Constitution as it pertains to their personal information.
Now, currently, where do we stand with this? I understand that some laws are functional and some are not. Where are we? Where are we?
So where we've been for a while is in 2013, POPI became law, but only very few provisions actually became effective. So the appointment of a regulator and her power to basically issue regulations, it all was enforced for the longest time. Then in December 2016, the regulator was appointed, and she's been working quite hard since then, passing draft regulations and things and essentially building up to this point. And then obviously we learned on Saturday that she's requested that on 1 April 2020, the Act becomes effective, at which point there's a 12-month grace period for everyone in South Africa to actually become compliant with those provisions in POPI, which can be fairly onerous and are quite detailed. So on the 31st of March next year, if everything goes according to this proposed timeline, the full Act will become effective, and every provision in the Act will essentially become effective, and people will have to ensure they're compliant with the Act at that point.
To you listening at home, by the way, just to bring you up to speed, if you have just joined us, you're listening to the voice of Carl Blom, senior associate at Weber Wentzel Law Firm, who joins you now to talk about POPI or POPIA, giving us a brief background of what POPI is and where we are right now and what needs to change for the future. Talking about that, Carl, what are the changes or what changes are we expecting and when will this be implemented?
So if we go according to the timeline requested by the regulator, the Act should be fully enforced on the 31st of March next year. And so we can expect quite significant changes. So we're going from a point in South Africa where we don't really protect personal information in a legal sense. There are some protections in place, but they're fairly generic and they're quite broad. Whereas POPI is very detailed and actually brings us quite closely in line to where the EU currently is. So people are going to start seeing many more reports, many more cases of potentially companies being reported to the regulator for data breaches. Direct marketing provisions have become very important for consumers. And companies themselves are going to have to implement fairly extensive compliance programs to make sure they actually adhere to the 8 conditions of lawful processing, which are the principles in the Act that describe how one may collect, use, and ultimately dispose of personal information.
And so perhaps then the benefit then to the average man, what would that be?
So the benefit to average consumer, I mean, immediately off the bat will probably be the direct marketing provisions that most people will be celebrating. The Act essentially states that once it's enforced, unless you're an existing customer of a business, they can't approach you with any direct marketing unless they obtain your prior consent. And if you fail to give that consent or just don't respond to the request, they cannot contact you again. And similarly, if you ever do request that they stop advertising to you, they must stop advertising and may not contact you again. So I would expect the immediate benefit for most of us will be the cessation of all those marketing messages. And then just beyond that, you will now have a right to request companies disclose what information they have about you and what they do with the information and why they need it. And if you feel that they're doing anything improper or unlawful with that information, you can request that they stop. So it really is going to empower the average person to actually take control of the information and to give them more bargaining power almost with these companies. Whereas currently, as you may well know, we almost just accept that our information is taken and used, and there's very little recourse we have in that case.
Now, Carl, it's one thing to have the law. It's another if people don't know about the law. And I mean, I remember back in time, it was on radio, it was on TV. There was this drive to raise awareness around Poppy or the Poppy Act. Do you believe that there has been enough awareness in the, you know, to the masses around this Poppy Act?
Look, I think this act has now been essentially in law and in force, but obviously temporarily delayed, for about 7 years. So I think when the act came into force, there was obviously lots of excitement. Most people are now in the same way when the Consumer Protection Act came into force, and everyone's excited there. These new rights have been granted. We're stepping up to an equal playing field with the EU. But then over time, interest starts to drain. There's only so many times you can repeat the story about an act that isn't currently in force. So I do definitely think in the coming months and during that 12-month grace period I mentioned earlier, the regulator and definitely many of my contemporaries at other law firms, I expect, and in the media as well, will certainly start to educate the public and bring it to light all these extra rights they will have. Because, as I said, on the 31st of March next year, it will be vital for businesses to make sure they comply with this act. And I know the regulators are actually very passionate about making sure there is this compliance and making sure that the public is aware of its rights. And that's also a key part of their mandate.
And talking about consequences, I mean, should a company break the laws of Poppy? I don't necessarily know if that's a correct term, Carl. Break the laws of Poppy. Are there any consequences? If there are, what are the consequences? Are there levels? Is there a court that one can apply to?
So how it works is there are a few criminal offences under the Act. So things like not complying with the regulator, for example, or for misusing customers' bank account details and things. But the immediate criminal sentences are fairly limited. What will actually happen in practice is, let's say you take my information and you don't comply with the provisions of Poppy. So let's say you use it for marketing unlawfully, or if you don't store it correctly. What the typical recourse will be is that you will complain as a customer to the information regulator, or to an industry body if there's a code of conduct in place with that industry body, and you'll air your grievance. The company in charge, or the responsible party in that case, will be given a chance to respond, and then the information regulator can make a finding. So that finding will dictate certain steps that the company must take. They may levy an administrative fine up to 10 million rand in the most serious cases.
Sure.
And then their findings essentially, in that case, the first step against a responsible party. Of course, because of the way our laws are structured, should a person take objection with the information regulator's finding, they can, of course, go to High Court or any other competent court and challenge that finding, at which case the normal court process would proceed. But definitely there'll be this additional avenue of recourse brought up for people to complain to the information regulator, who has very strong powers to investigate, make findings, make recommendations, and then also levy sanctions if it's not compliant.
Carl, I imagine this then becomes a big issue for, it doesn't matter whether you're a big company or a small company, and so you've got to put measures in place. If you're a company, then what's the advice that would come from you? Is it a question of, if I need to set measures in place, I come to Weber Wenzel, I chat to Carl, and Carl helps me put up a, I don't know what you would call it, a code of conduct, or so to speak?
Well, definitely, in the past, our initial advice to clients always is, lawyers are actually well-placed to assist you to comply with the law, and Poppy, as it's fairly novel in South Africa, will often require some form of legal advice. But an initial first step that most companies should do to maybe get their head around the problem is to look and see what records of personal information they have in their possession or which they use. And you'll see in the Act, the definition of personal information is extremely broad. So it can be, it's almost everything. It's names, contact details, even opinions and views, healthcare. So everyone will have some personal information. Every employer, of course, has information about his employees. But what we typically suggest is you create a list of what you have. You then determine how do you collect it, what do you use it for, who do you share it with, and how long do you keep it. So you just have a general understanding yourself of what information your business has. And at that point, you either approach an attorney. There are also some good resources available online if you want to look at the UK examples as well, because our laws are quite similar to the UK, so there are good guidance documents available there. But definitely, the ultimate goal should be to determine that you need a privacy policy in place at your company to determine or to make sure that all your employees and everyone in your organization is seeing off the hymn sheet. Like I said, it's a fairly new thing for South Africa, so we aren't necessarily going to automatically know almost as common sense what the correct thing is to do. And you need to ingrain this in your company's culture to make sure that information is treated sensitively and with the correct deference to ensure compliance with the law.
Carla, we are running out of time. You literally got 10 seconds to answer this. One says, what could the cost be to comply and how do you apply to comply?
You don't have to apply to anyone. Really, the cost will depend on the size of your organization and what information you have. But what we recommend is you take the easy, quick steps you can. There are always going to be three or four big items you can address. And then you always see it as an ongoing challenge rather than a one-off compliance project that you build into your business offering. And that's the best way to do it.
All right. Carl, listen, thank you so very much for joining us on the show. That's Carl Blom, Senior Associate at Webber Witzel.